Elton John constantly remembers his life as a drug addict, whether he wants to recall it or not.
I still dream twice a week at least that I'd taken cocaine, and I have it up my nose, and it's very vivid and it's very upsetting, but at least it's a wake-up call.
The singer's new memoir explains how he stopped using cocaine. In that book, Love is the Cure, John says he abused drugs and alcohol until after he came to know Ryan White. White was the Indiana teenager who contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion. His case did much to build public support to battle the disease. When neighbors ostracized the White family, Elton John helped them to move. Months after White's death, in 1990, the singer was forced to reconsider his own life.
It helped me realize, it got me to realize how out of whack my life was, because I was just, as I say, in and out of a drug-fueled haze in the 80s and did nothing to help people with AIDS. I was a gay man who really sat on the sidelines.
After he finally sought drug treatment, Elton John started an AIDS foundation. It now makes grants to prevention and treatment programs. In recounting all of this story, the singer begins with his years as an addict, starting in the 1970s. You know, when you talk about how your cocaine use started, you relate this story of being in your 20s, you're already a star, you're not using drugs, and you walk into a studio one day and there's a line of coke on that, on the table that your manager informs you is cocaine. And the first question that occurred to me is, this guy's your manager, what was he thinking?
Exactly. Good point. And, you know, I was so ignorant about drugs and so naive. I mean, my band was smoking marijuana for years. I didn't even know what a joint was. And I'd never seen a line of cocaine in my life. And I don't know whether it was bravado or, you know, okay, I'll join in. But my stupidity, I had a line of coke and that started the whole process.
And, you know, granted, I mean, it's a drug. People use drugs. It was the 1970s. But still, I'm thinking this guy was your manager. I mean, what happened to that guy later on?
I fired him. But it took me a long time to do it because I was never a confrontational person, and took me till the 90s to do that.
Now, you mentioned not being a confrontational person. I wonder if that touches on another subject, because you write about a long period in your life where you would basically shut yourself up in the house, and you say that it was difficult for you to even talk with people unless you were high or drunk or both. Now, in the course of getting clean, did you figure out what it was about yourself that would have made you that way?
I was just genuinely shy. I'd always been a shy kid. And when I happened, when my success started, I was incredibly confident on stage because that's where I love to be. But off stage, there was no balance. I was, you know, the same little kid that went on stage. But on stage, I had all the bravado and all the, you know, the chutzpah necessary to do a great show. But there was no balance in my life. And I always said cocaine was the drug that made me open up. I could talk to people. But then it became the drug that closed me down, because the last 2 weeks of my use of cocaine, I spent in a room in London using it and not coming out for 2 weeks. And it completely shut me down. So it started out by making me talk to everyone and then ended up by me isolating myself alone with it, which is the end of the world, really.
Now the immediate cause for you finally getting clean was that you had a lover, you had a boyfriend who got clean himself. But you also write that it had something to do with the years that you knew Ryan White. What does one thing have to do with the other?
Well, because when I knew Ryan, I knew that my life was out of whack. I knew that I had to change. And after he died, I realized that I only had two choices. I was going to die or I was going to live. And which one did I want to do? And then I said those words, I'll get help, or I need help, I'll get help. And my life turned around. Ridiculous for a human being to take 16 years to say, I need help.
Now, when it came time to choose a song to memorialize Ryan White, you chose a very old song, a song that's so old that I think there's probably a lot of Elton John fans who had never heard of it, Skyline Pigeon. What is that song, and why did it come to your mind?
It's very hard to choose the appropriate song to sing at something like that. Skyline Pigeon was on my very first album called Empty Sky, and I chose it because I thought at that time it was the first really good song that we'd ever written. And it was a song about release and freedom. And death is kind of release and freedom.
Turn me loose from your hand. Let me fly to distant lands. Over green fields, trees and mountains. Flowers and forest bounties.
It's a very pretty song and a very pretty lyric. And so I sang it then, and I seemed the most appropriate thing to sing. And the lyrics seemed to go beautifully with the passage of crossing over to the other side, as it were.
Fly away, skyline pigeon fly, towards the dreams you left so very far behind.
One other thing I want to ask about. You, in this book, in addition to talking about how Ryan White affected your life, how your attitude toward AIDS changed, how you became an activist, you argue pretty strongly against politicians today, American politicians today. You even talk about maybe a run-in is too strong a word, but an exchange of notes that you had with Rick Scott, the governor of Florida. What got you involved there?
We're an AIDS organization. Whenever anybody's funding is cut, and it's usually cut, and especially in this case in Florida, for the people that can afford it least to have their funding cut, then we're going to write a letter about it. And we wrote a letter to the governor himself. We have to pay attention to things like that. We can't take our eye off the ball.
In this particular case, you got a letter back from the governor's surgeon general saying, well, maybe you should play a benefit concert or a series of concerts to raise money for the program.
Yeah, it's not my job to do that. It's a government's priority to do that. I can't do benefit concerts for Florida, for the people with AIDS in Florida. It's their responsibility. They need to, you know, do what's right. And cutting funding for the people that least afford it is criminal.
Well, let me ask the fundamental question that gets asked about issues like this in the United States now. What is it that makes AIDS a matter of fundamental public concern, that it is the business of the government as opposed to anybody else to deal with it?
Because we can solve this AIDS problem forever if the government gives the funding, if people are encouraged to come out and say they're HIV positive and they're given their treatments, then obviously the people who are marginalized, like intravenous drug users, prisoners, people are made to feel less than. If they're given the support of the government and they're given the funding, then it's going to help solve the spread of AIDS and HIV in America. We have to try and get rid of this short-sightedness when it comes to HIV and the stigma around it.
That's Elton John, whose new memoir is called Love is the Cure, and we're going to hear more from him tomorrow. We're going to ask him about writing music, and also ask what that song Daniel is really about.